Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, this is Richard Cohn. I'm the publisher of Beyond Words Publishing and the host of Authors Beyond Words. Today I have the pleasure of introducing our audience to Britt Elders. Britt is an investigative author and documentary filmmaker who has traveled the world exploring a variety of topics, including the mysterious world of UFOs. She has participated in several in-depth investigations, including the Billy Meyer case and the waves of UFO sightings in Mexico, which began in 1991 and continues today. Britt also continues to research and write for herself and others. She is also the author of UFO Contact from the Pleiades, Volumes 1 and 2, which have been combined into a beautiful coffee table book, a 45th anniversary edition. Let me just read a little bit about the book, Britt, and then you can talk about it.
And okay.
This photo journal presents the unique contact case of a Swiss farmer, Billy Meyer, who claims to have met with the Pleiadians hundreds of times, compiling many layers of evidence, including notes on their conversations, hundreds of photographs, movie footage, audio recordings of the craft, landing tracks of the spaceships, dozens of witnesses, and even metal samples of the craft itself. The quality and amount of evidence was convincing, making this unlike any case previously seen. Britt, I'm just fascinated by the subject, by your book, and why did you get involved with this case?
Well, we were friends with a lieutenant colonel from the Air Force, Wendell C. Stevens, and he was an avid UFO investigator. He traveled the world looking at these things. He called us one day and said, "You have to come to Tucson." We were living in Phoenix at the time. And he says, "There's a case you've got to really look into." Well, at that time, we had a company called Intercept. Intercept dealt with electronic countermeasure, basically keeping computers and telephones from being wiretapped and eavesdropped on. And we were doing exceptionally well with Fortune 500 companies and financial institutions around the world, and we were very busy. But we decided we'd take the drive down to Tucson and see what he was talking about. When we got there, there was a woman named Lou Zinstock that was there, and she had brought in several photographs that were taken by Billy Meyer. When we saw the photographs, it was like, oh, they're too good to be true. They can't be real. But how did this person do them? So we talked most of the night that night, and when we were driving back to Phoenix, we thought, no, we can't commit to looking into a UFO case when we've got so many great things going for us. And again, this is back in the 70s, and the topic of UFOs was not as welcomed as it is today. And we thought, oh, if we do that, our company's just going to fall apart. So we pushed it back a little bit, you know, and, well, we'll think about it. And Wendell kept coming back to us saying, "You've got to do this, you've got to do this." Finally, he went to Switzerland. He came back from Switzerland to meeting Billy Meyer, blown away. And we thought, okay, this is getting rather interesting now, because Wendell, although he was an avid collector, he didn't get blown away by much of anything. He had seen things in the Air Force. He had flown thousands of missions. He knew what was different in the sky. But after meeting Billy, he came back convinced something was going on. We had a sweep, an electronic sweep, in London at the time. And so we decided, well, we'll just take a side trip and go to Switzerland and meet with Meyer. Now, my husband, Lee, said, we're going to walk in, figure out how he's doing it. We're going to leave, and, okay, it's going to be a nice side trip. No big deal. We got there. We ended up staying 5 days, questioning Meyer constantly, sitting up all night around the kitchen table discussing all kinds of things. And just before we left, he brought out this dilapidated pink shoebox. And he opens it up, and inside are inner negatives from the pictures. There's movie footage, 8mm movie footage. And there's these little vials he had, film canisters. He opened them up, and they were full of little metal samples. He gave all of that to us. And he told us that we needed to take it back to the United States and have it analyzed. And that's all he wanted from us, was for us to analyze the material he was providing to us. So we thought, okay, we can't disprove it in 5 days. We've walked the farm. We've covered every inch of his house. We've looked. We've talked. We've talked to his family. We've talked to his friends, to people showing up at the farm because of the contacts. And we decided to take everything back and had no idea how it would change our lives.
That is amazing. And this was in the late 70s?
This was in 1976.
Wow. What makes the Pleiadian case so unique, do you think?
Several things, but primarily, I think it's, on a very physical standpoint, three-dimensional thump on it view, it's the fact that there is so much evidence attached to one case. Now, Meyer, he has no basic education as far as high school, college, anything like that. He's very smart. He's world-wise because he's traveled the world. So, or at least Europe and the Middle East in that section. So he's smart, but he did not have the tools, especially in 1975, when we didn't have personal computers, when we didn't have, you know, phones that could take amazing photographs. We had nothing that could create this on an individual basis. And yet he had all of this evidence. He had photographs. Hundreds of them. He had varying segments of 8mm movie footage taken at different locations, some with cars going underneath the craft on a road. He had metal samples, which Marcel Vogel got involved with analyzing. He brought in people from all different types of organizations that were metallurgists as well. And he held several patents, worked at IBM. He couldn't explain how the metal was made because it was a very strict piece of metal. And it was separated from another piece of metal by crystal. So he was trying to figure out how we could do this because at that time we didn't have the space shuttle. We couldn't go into space. We didn't have a cold synthesis process. How could we do this here? How could a farmer, who, by the way, had lost his arm in a bus accident, how could he put this metal together? And none of the scientists that worked on it could answer that question. Then we had the audio recordings of the craft that Meyer gave us. On two different occasions, they have recorded the sound of the craft, which is quite amazing. So we had all of this, plus eyewitnesses and their testimonies to take and to review and have analyzed, and it just grew from there.
And how long did you and Lee investigate this case?
7 years. We, after we went over and we collected all the evidence, we knew we did not personally have the capabilities of making any kind of determination. So we set about finding laboratories and individuals with the qualifications and the knowledge that could really delve into this. Jim Delatosa was very important in the beginning because this man is just, he's got such a brilliant mind, and he can talk to anybody about anything, literally, and knowledgeably so. And he started digging in and finding the scientists that we could talk to. Most of them would not originally put their name to it because they did not want the stigma of UFO attached to their name in any way, shape, or form. But we started getting some really interesting reports back on the photographs, on the movie footage and things like that. So when that started happening, there was kind of a buzz in the scientific community, and they really started looking at it. Michael Malin down at U of A, University of Arizona, got involved in taking the images and scanning them and working with them. We eventually got the images to Robert Post at JPL. Now, I have to tell you, these people didn't necessarily believe in extraterrestrial contact or that one man was having a series of contacts. But they were curious because they could not disprove what they had analyzed. They couldn't say, okay, it's hoaxed and here's how it's done. So the investigation took some time. It actually spanned three different continents.
And the fact that they couldn't disprove any of the evidence, does that give you confidence in saying that this is real?
I would have, this is going to be a weird answer, but I think the determination whether or not something is real is based on the person's experience. We have had experiences there that were very, very unique that I cannot explain. I have never seen a craft. I've never been aboard a craft. And I've never met any of the Pleiadians, even though we spent over 365 days living at the farm in that seven-year period. But I do think the basis of what Meyer presented supports his claim tremendously. Then when you get into the non-thump on it world of his contacts, you're into the messages, which are truly beautiful. Nothing negative, only uplifting, and something that will, I think, propel people to think more about what they can be doing to be a better person. So you had all these different aspects going on simultaneously, and it's still one of those things you have to make the determination yourself. For me, the case is real. For me, the experiences Billy had are as he claimed. But I spent time there with him. I was present when the analysis was being done on the physical evidence. I interviewed the witnesses. And I read the contact notes, and they all resonated in my heart. And that, to me, is where we need to begin to come from as a society. I mean, our brains can get us in trouble quite often, and I think if we start thinking with our heart, we're going to do better.
I agree with you 100%. When Billy, now he actually had physical contact with the Pleiadians. I believe in reading your book, there were several, a woman, is it Semyasa?
Yes.
Semyasa and Pita?
And Pita and Quetzal.
Okay. And how, do they show up looking in a human form? And the second question is, how do they communicate with him?
Yes, he said that the first contact in the 70s that he had, the craft lowered, and then from behind the craft walked out a woman. This was Sannyasa. And she looked very much like us, almost a translucent texture to her skin. In UFO lingo, they call these the Nordic-looking beings. Very light, fair skin, blonde hair, blue eyes. They communicated in Swiss German. And they say that they can communicate, one, because they spend time learning about the individual they're going to contact, 10 years, as a matter of fact, in Earth time. And then, if necessary, they have a translator that automatically translates into Swiss German, so Billy was capable of understanding their thoughts and they understood his.
When you say a translator, is it something that is a physical object that helps translate, or is it something
exactly
within them?
Exactly, it's a device, although they do try to learn the language. But it is a device that they use to translate.
And how long do they stay outside the craft and talk with him?
Sometimes Billy would be gone for hours, and they have a different sense of time than we do. So when he's gone and he says he feels like he was gone for 8 days, it could only be several hours. So it's a whole confusing discussion, basically, about time. But his concept of time, I would rely on, and he would say he would have an hour or two conversation. And part of the reason for that is they did not want to be seen, and although they can put shields up around their craft and things like that, there have been others that have seen them, seen the ships. So Billy would spend maybe an hour or two talking to them, and then what would happen was he would go back to his little office and he would type out the conversation they had, and that's where the contact notes came from.
In your book, I really was fascinated by the notes that Billy had of the communication with Sannyasi and the others. It just was amazing to read this. And,
Pardon? Some of it is so beautiful.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. It is, when you mentioned it's uplifting, it really is beautiful. And I think everyone will enjoy not only seeing the photographs, but reading those words. After 45 years, you've chosen now to bring these out, and we are honored to have put both volumes in one book. How do you feel about your book?
Oh, I am absolutely thrilled with it. It's kept a very similar format. It's 10 inches by 10 inches. The original books were 12 inches by 12 inches, so you still have these incredible, huge images to enjoy, as well as all of the text and more text. The thing that I love about this book is it truly feels like a complete book. It's just absolutely beautiful how it's come about. So I'm thrilled with it, and it's, to me, so relevant now because we have a couple of up-and-coming generations that are very open and receptive to this type of material. It's no longer carrying the stigma of UFO is a bad thing. We can't attach anything to it other than negative. now people are looking at the fact that we're talking about going to Mars. We're talking about really delving into space, not the cosmos, but our near space. And people are interested in that again. Plus, you have all of the government releases that are going on, not just the U.S. government, but all around the world, they're talking about this. So there are generations now ready to jump in and to think. And the purpose of re-releasing these books is that we let these people find interest. And I think that's important.
I totally agree. When we come back, I would like to talk with you a little bit about the Pleiadians and their role in the galaxy and in space. And
terrific.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar, you deserve it. Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Britt, in your conversations with Billy, did he ever share information about the Pleiadians? Where they came from in space, what a little bit about their history, and also about whether there are other civilizations and maybe even a collective union of peoples all over the galaxy.
He did. He talked to us about their history because they make a very strong statement that our forefathers were their forefathers. So they feel kind of a kinship with us. But in that, their history didn't begin in the Pleiades, which is a fairly young star system. It began in Lyra, which is basically known as the Ring Nebula of Lyra. And there were civilizations there that were warring factions with each other. They ended up destroying their planet. Many of the different groups went into space in search of a new home. The Pleiadians that Billy was speaking to are specifically originally from Lyra. They went to the Pleiades. They engineered the planet so they could live there. It wasn't habitable at that time, and they used their knowledge and technology to engineer it. The lesson they took from that is that we cannot self-destruct. In order to find our space in the cosmos with all of these other civilizations, and there are many, over 108, we have to have a less warlike mentality. We have to learn what love is. We can't define it by, oh, I love this object or anything like that. Love is a state of being, and it's part of a spiritually developing person, according to the Pleiadians. We have to get that. In fact, Ptah has a quote in this book, and he says something, and I'm ad-libbing here because I don't have the quote in front of me. We cannot interfere yet, which led us into conversations with Billy as to what point they would interfere with our development as a civilization on Earth. And I'm talking about the entire population of Earth. And the thing that Billy told us was that if we would have a nuclear war, they would destroy our planet. They would interfere. Because it would not only destroy Earth, it would have far-reaching effects throughout the cosmos, like a shockwave or a tidal wave. And they don't want that to happen. But the general conflicts we have on this planet, we have to resolve ourselves. So they will only interfere if it comes to the point that we are going to self-destruct. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And you mentioned that there are 108, was that the numbers of civilizations?
Well, actually, I just had a conversation with Billy the other day, and I asked him again, because the information, again, is 45 years old, that the Pleiadians said there were 108 civilizations. And Billy said there's many, many more. But how many exactly, he doesn't know. He hasn't asked. So he's still in telepathic communication with the Pleiadians. But the communication is different. It's not so structural from the standpoint of providing proof, which was part of the reason that the Pleiadians came in and made the contact with Billy, was to provide evidence that we are not the only thinking beings in the universe, that others exist out there, and we need to be thoughtful of that as we move forward in life and space.
Do the Pleiadians say that there is a, like we have on Earth, we have the United Nations as an organization. Is there some type of an organization among all of these civilizations?
Yes, there are councils that work with the different groups out there, and I've heard names given to them. Billy has never attached a name to them in our conversations, but he said that, yes, there are councils that the different civilizations throughout the universe work with to sort of oversee a more peaceful, calm relationship with each other, sort of like the UN is supposed to do.
Yes. And have you spoken to Billy recently?
I talked to him. Actually, he and I emailed back and forth a couple of days ago, but I have talked to him. He is fully aware that the books were being republished. He was thrilled with the idea because he also realizes that there are new generations that need to see something positive when it comes to extraterrestrial life rather than the constant harangue, unfortunately I have to use that term, of negativity, that they're here to attack us, they're here to take us over, they're here to violate us in one way or another. I personally, I've looked at a lot of UFO cases. I've investigated many around the world. Even the abduction cases, and I had long conversations with Johnny Mack about this, abduction cases basically are viewed as abductions because there is a fear factor involved there. It's something different and something the person was not prepared for. They physically, in their conscious moment, did not want that experience. And so that promotes the fear and thus the abduction. I'm not saying they don't exist. I do believe they do. But there are also contact cases where people have face-to-face and telepathic communication with others from out in the universe, and there is no fear attached to it. And that's one of the most beautiful things about the Palladian Swiss case. There is no fear attached to it. It's all about growth as a human, as an individual, as a community, as a culture, as a world. It's about growth and development. Tremendous messages here.
Britt, it's just amazing when we think about our own society and our world, that here the Pleiadians are offering us a message of hope for our own future and a path where we can grow, where we can, as humans and as a community and as a world, become planetary citizens without fear.
Isn't that a great thought? I just love the concept.
I really do.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com. Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
I know you mentioned that you didn't see any craft yourself. However, did you ever see any individuals, any Pleiadians?
Well, we had a lot of unique and very unusual experiences while we were living right there at the farm. We were in a little camp trailer right next to the farmhouse, and that was Lee and I. And there was a little white dog, little Esky, who started yapping one night. He was really upset about something, and we looked out the window, and there was this person, being, that was walking from behind the farmhouse out down this little path. Very unusual, interesting-looking being. It looked like a young boy, very, very thin, sort of had on a one-piece suit. It was sort of a half moon, so there was some light, but it wasn't very bright, and there weren't a lot of lights around the farmhouse. But we could see this individual, and I thought, no, that's a strange gait he has. He seemed kind of fluid and flexible as he walked. And Lee and I talked about it, and we wondered who it was. We didn't recognize the person, being, as any of Meyer's children, or any of the children that we had seen around the farm, either playing or with their parents or in the neighborhood. So we watched until it disappeared down this trail. Now, during that trip, we happened to be there with Junichi Aoi of Nippon Television, and they were filming a show there with Meyer. We brought them in to sort of satisfy their curiosity as to what was going on with Meyer, too, and to help us with some of the analysis. Aoi got up, and we told him what happened. He listened, and he says, well, let's see, because it had been raining the day before, and no one had been out. Well, we followed these tracks of an unusual shoe, and we took plaster casts of the track. It had a very strange pattern in the shoe. We couldn't match it to any of the shoes on the property. We followed those tracks, though, all the way back to a clearing. In that clearing, the tracks vanished. They just disappeared. We don't know who it was. We don't know where they went or why they were there, but it was an experience that we had. We had a similar experience with Billy when we saw him in the middle of the night get up and leave, and we decided we'd follow him first thing in the morning. So we did. We took off, we got to a different clearing, big, huge clearing. Again, Billy's tracks disappeared. So Billy vanished. He came back later that day, walking down a completely different path, saying that he had been on board the craft. He had been with Samyasa. So these are things that were just some of the incidents that we experienced while we were there.
Wow. And so Billy has then been in their craft.
Yes, he has.
And
that's what he says.
When he goes into the craft, does he go in his physical form, or is there a different vibrational frequency that he has to adjust to?
Yes. When they take him on board the craft, he has to undergo literally a vibrational shift in his frequencies, because the Pleiadians, do not work well with Earth-human vibrations. In fact, they say that Earth-humans have something called auric stench. We can leave that auric stench behind by growing and developing as individuals and as a culture. But at this point, there is still so much anger, hatred, greed, all of those things involved in our lives, that we carry this lower vibration with us. So they do have to shift Billy's vibration so that he is capable of functioning while he's on board the craft. And that's part of the reason they say that they study individuals they will have contact with for a period of 10 years or more.
And is there a physical transformation also, like when we see, you know, Beam Me Up, Scotty, or those television?
He doesn't feel that, and he hasn't seen it. So he, to him, no. It's just a shift in energy. And when he leaves them, he says he feels so good, so full of love, so energized, so healed, that he doesn't really want to come back to Earth sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have so many questions I want to ask you. Our government, I know a law went through Congress and signed by the president to release information about all the history of everything that has gone on. However, I noticed recently that one agency in the government said that none of this is real.
Right. Yeah. I expect a lot of contradictory things out of the government. They've swept things under the rug for so long that somebody's bound to trip on it, so they'll piecemeal information just enough to sort of tantalize, but not enough to admit to anything. But yeah, there's even a debate with the Tic Tac footage that the Navy released a couple of years ago. There's a debate now. Is that real? Is it a fake? Is it a camera flare? Is it this? Is it that? Again, I don't think we should rely on the government to make the decision as to whether or not we feel there is probably extraterrestrial life. I have to say, I think it's kind of arrogant of us to think that we're the only beings in the universe. If we go that direction, I don't understand why the government is so concerned that people realize that life exists throughout the universe. It should be something that we could learn to work with. Not that they're there to harm us, not that they're there to save us. We created our own problems. We're responsible for that. But if we could begin to work with other civilizations, off-world civilizations, and not have it go toward military means or towards something that could be manipulated into, I hate positive and negative, but for lack of better terms, a negative, we could do really well. And we could learn so much about each other and really expand the knowledge base of this planet so that we could participate in space.
I would look forward to continuing that conversation because I think this is something that as humans, as a society, we choose our elected people, but we need to take much more responsibility to help move our planet forward.
Absolutely.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com. Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Britt, as we're talking about off-world civilizations and contact, which in your book it's UFO contact from the Pleiades, but now the government has the term UAP.
Right.
Is that unidentified anomalous phenomena?
Or unidentified aerial phenomena.
Or
yeah, we're coming up with all kinds of new little definitions for things, but that's okay. There's still things in the sky and undersea that we don't know, we don't understand, and we just know they're there.
And how do you think the public in general views UFOs and UAPs and the possibility of visitations?
Today versus 45 years ago is night and day. Back then, we would go into a laboratory to do analysis that they agreed to do, and they would make everyone take off their name tags, their badges. There could be no emblem of the company we were in. Today, scientists are curious. They want to know, what are these things? Why are they here? Who is in them? What mind is controlling them? There are still those that believe that if they see something that is anomalous in the skies, that it's Russian or Chinese or ours, but they don't want to go beyond that point. But for the most part, people are very receptive. They're curious. They have been, in an odd way, kind of indoctrinated through movies that there is other life out there and that we shouldn't be surprised by it, which is, I think, kind of wonderful and helpful. But people are moving into a frame of mind where it's okay to talk about. It is no longer just hush-hush conversations in a corner. It is sitting there in a restaurant listening to the people next to you talk about the sighting they had the night before. It's great. And it's about time we move in that direction.
And for you personally, what are your thoughts about extraterrestrial life visiting Earth?
I think it has visited us for centuries, eons. In the phases of research that we did on the Pleiadian-Swiss case, we looked into ancient cultures to find out their connections to the stars, and every single one of them had a connection to the Pleiades. Every single one. And they all looked at them as something special, that they were the arbiters of human destiny, that they brought information to cultures to help them survive. Very, very important things. American Indian cultures have connections there. The Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, sub-Saharan African cultures, Eskimos, all over South America. In fact, we were at Teotihuacan on a different investigation, and there's a temple down there dedicated to the Pleiades. So, yes, it's... I think they've been around a long time, and I think it's about time we recognize them.
And their lifespan is much longer than ours, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But again, time is a creation for us here. Their time varies different, because it has a different frequency attached to it. We base ours on the calendars. We base ours on sun and night, how that interacts with us. But yes, they say their lives do, in Earth years, run hundreds of years longer than ours.
And in terms of physical well-being and health, do they have anything that Billy has learned or to share about how they take care of themselves?
Not too much that he's shared with us regarding that. He did say that they eat rabbit. They eat a lot of vegetables. They eat small animals. But on their diet, that was about it. But so much of it has to go with an aspect of telepathic thought, because it's the most pure form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot commit a crime if everything you do is being telepathically input to everyone else. You cannot be mean to someone else if that's going out to everyone. So in the process, I think, of developing this telepathy between themselves, they've learned how to expand and blossom as individuals, and in that, I think in the spiritual nature of that consciousness, they have improved themselves and therefore live a longer lifespan. And I think, you know, if we looked at what we could do with that, if we really focused on having that kind of communication where we are telepathic with each other, where there is no longer some of the insanity going on in the world because everybody knows it's going to happen, we start improving the process of our life. Our life is better and longer if it is less stressful. And right now, this world is swamped in stress.
I have thought for my whole lifetime that if we communicated with thought, it would be pure and transparent and authentic, just as you've said. And what a difference it would make.
Oh, boy, wouldn't it? Yes. I mean, you're dealing with not verbal manipulation. I mean, and that's what we... what we use now, unfortunately, to get a person to believe this or that or move this way or that way. But if we had pure thought between each other, what an incredible place this would be. There wouldn't be stress. There wouldn't be fear. There wouldn't be anger. Now, how we get there, I don't know. And I think it's going to take us a while. But I think we have the ability to begin the process of learning how to react better to each other, even with our verbal manipulations.
And we wouldn't have to read between the lines.
Exactly. Wouldn't that be great? I can just know it.
You know, I forgot to mention, I think that you are releasing a DVD of the film footage that was taken, and I think it's going to be called UFO Contact from the Pleiades also.
It's not just the film footage. It is a documentary film that we did back in 82. It was called Contact originally. We've linked it directly to this book. It documents the steps that we took in the investigation, what happened with the various forms of analysis of the physical evidence. It lets Billy present himself in his own words. It's really great that way. And it shares some of the messages that are brought by Samyasa Patan Getzel. It's really something I was proud of back then, and I'm very pleased that it's going to be re-released. It's something many people have not seen, but it does show the video footage of the original 8mm movie footage. It shows the metal samples being examined, the audio recordings being examined, the image analysis that was done. So, yes, I'm very thrilled that Contact from the Pleiades, the DVD, is coming out.
And, of course, your beautiful, beautiful book. What a valuable resource for anyone interested in UFOs, UAPs. And I want to thank you, Britt, and your late husband for creating this beautiful book. It's available, of course, through bookstores, Amazon. It's available through Beyond Words, and the DVD will be as well. So thank you for sharing everything you did today.
Oh, thank you, Richard. This has been an absolute delight.